some mixed signals on the economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Labor Department says jobless claims dipped slightly last week, but the report also says the number of people continuing to collect unemployment benefits fell by the biggest number in a year. We also got word today the disparity between how much the country imports and exports keeps growing. The nation's trade deficit now tops $40 billion. Some big news out of the sports world today. The University of Southern California is getting an economic punch in the gut. There are reports the USC football and basketball programs will lose 20 college scholarships and the ability to play in bowl games for the next 2 years. They could also get longer probation, have to forfeit a bunch of wins, and limit recruiting. Why? The NCAA, which has purview over college sports, says the university didn't rein in rogue sports marketers and event promoters who were charged with giving a couple of high-profile athletes gifts. It's a big deal in the sports world when the NCAA goes after you. And Alan Sanderson is a sports economist at the University of Chicago. He's with us live to talk about it. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve.
Why is this happening?
Well, the principal cause or factor in all this is just there's a huge disparity between what a superstar player is worth to his university and what he's being paid in terms of his athletic scholarship. I mean, these guys are the most exploited workers in the American economy. So in part, the gap is being narrowed by way of illegal payments, doctoring transcripts, covering up antisocial activities, and other ways to curry favor with the kid, his family, his high school coach, his minister.
You know, this doesn't happen all the time. I mean, I can remember a couple of other incidents when this has happened, but are they common?
They probably are common, but they're just probably more adept at covering them up. But the number of violations, if you could really dig to the bottom of it, is I suspect fairly large.
What kind of impact could this have on the university? I mean, we're talking USC. This is big time right here. Pac-10 football. You've got two-time national championship just in the past few years. That's a big deal.
It is going to hurt them in recruiting, but on the other hand, if it's a two-year penalty, the high school senior now, by the time he cracks the starting lineup at USC, they'll be out of the penalty phase. It would be more of an issue, say, in basketball, where the kid is only planning on being there for a year anyway before he jumps to the NBA and wants the exposure. Donors, I suspect, the rabid donors are still going to give money, but it'll be the loss of television revenues and other kinds of financial things. They're certainly still going to sell out the stadium.
But the TV revenue, that's another big deal, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and what's the incentive for marketers to sort of take place in this kind of activity? Why are they there?
Well, in part, you're rolling the dice and hoping that this kid makes it big in the same way that a Reebok or a Nike may sponsor a certain Olympic athlete and hope that he or she does really well because then it'll lead to higher apparel sales down the road. So it's rolling the dice. And that can be a fairly lucrative if you hit the right kid.
Why not just pay college football players, college basketball players?
Oh, I'm not opposed to that at all. Look, if we can tax soft drinks, if we can tax tanning salons, gasoline, cigarettes, I mean, one of the problems with paying the kids directly is we have to maintain this kind of fiction that these are actually students, as opposed to just hired guns for the institutions. But why not tax the tickets? Suppose you had a huge federal tax on athletic tickets and broadcasts, and then put a pool of money that you could give to these guys after their playing days are over. They could try to finish their degrees, go to business school, start a small business, something like that.
Alan Sanderson from the University of Chicago. We got to wrap it up there. Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it. Let's do the numbers. Shares right now up about 1 to 2%. The Dow higher now, 203 points at 10,102. The Nasdaq up nearly 2%. Same for the S&P 500. European shares higher as well, and Asian shares were mixed today.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. Yeah.
Payday loans are short-term loans you can get in check cashing stores or even online. They cost a lot of money, so community organizers are trying to wean people off by forcing them into financial fitness classes. Kathy Duchamp reports.
Felix Torres Colon runs a nonprofit called Neighborhood Housing Services. The group wants to protect people from so-called predatory lending practices.
We're really kind of a bridge to get people more used to more normal practices and then hopefully graduate them to mainstream institutions.
Borrow and Save is a pilot loan program for Baltimore residents who Colon says get caught in a cycle of taking a loan, then paying it back, then taking another loan.
Over and over and over again. They get in that cycle. The problem with robbing Peter to pay Paul, you're just really shifting deck chairs on the Titanic, so to speak.
A two-week cash advance loan carries an interest rate of around 30%. But if you don't pay it back on time, the rate can go up to 300% or more. That's the situation Daryl Witherspoon got in.
Yeah, it took me maybe 3-4 years to actually get caught up and clear of all of that.
Witherspoon was one of the first people to sign up for the Borrow and Save program. He got a $1,000 loan with an 8% interest rate. He had a year to pay it back. That's more time than he'd get with a payday loan at a fraction of the cost. But for Witherspoon, the biggest bang for the buck came from the mandatory financial fitness classes.
That was the best part of it, because I really didn't expect the counseling and tutoring financially that they gave.
Witherspoon learned the specific steps required to improve a credit score, like writing letters to credit reporting agencies to clarify a debt. He also learned the importance of paying yourself first.
So now I snatch $40 out of my pay, no matter what, going into a savings account, just to make sure, you know, I got a little extra that I don't need or don't touch.
Witherspoon has had to dip into his savings for some unexpected medical expenses. Still, he managed to pay off his loan from the Borrow and Save program in just 5 months, thanks to an income tax refund. Neighborhood Housing of Baltimore says it shows that people of little means are not necessarily bad credit risks. In Baltimore, I'm Kathy Duchamp for Marketplace.
Hey, share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org and follow us on Twitter, too. Chiatakis, MMR. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.